A victory Friday for the Green Bay Packers. Now 8-3-1 thanks to their 31-24 win over the Lions. They sweep Detroit on the season. Now 3-0 within the division. And next week, they'll be playing for first place in the division against the Chicago Bears, no matter what happens today. Now, if the Bears do lose today at 2 o'clock on Prime Video against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Packers will be in first place in the division. Right now, still looking up at the Chicago Bears.
This is going to tell us a lot about the Bears, I think.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. I mean, again, this is a team that's 8-3 and still has given up more points than they've scored.
Philly coming off of an embarrassing loss at Dallas. I mean, everything points to them, the Bears getting smoked.
Yeah, and the Bears don't have linebackers. So a run game that's been having issues might be the...
Is it better? Let me ask you this, because you know I'm a nut job.
Really?
Is it better if they win or get blown out?
The Bears?
Yeah.
What? You tell me. I mean, I think if they get blown out, they get exposed. But
yeah,
I just don't like.
You think it's going to matter for next week against the Packers? If they get blown out?
Yeah.
What? Now, hear me out. What if they're just not that good?
And
they'll be exposed in back-to-back weeks.
Which is a possibility. Yeah, but there's also the Packers go back to their schizophrenic ways.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't think that's going to happen. So that's a defense.
Yeah,
that is saving their own ass with turnovers right now. They're number one in the league in turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
And they're not that good.
Which is a good thing because they're 27th in points and 27th in yards. If they didn't have those turnovers, this would be real bad defense for the Bears.
Yeah.
And the Packers just don't. I mean, Jordan Love doesn't turn the ball over.
Like yesterday's game felt like the first two games of the year where they acted like bullies.
Yeah. Well, they got out to that early lead.
But they need to do
that. They responded when the Lions scored. We've got I lost track of it now. But we had a text on the Carbless Talking text line saying, hey, what was huge yesterday was responding to those touchdowns.
Yeah.
I always kind of kept the Lions at an arm's length because they were able to keep it at a 10-point differential for most of that second half.
Yeah. They need to act like bullies, especially at home. Mm-hmm. And I think Micah Parsons wants to.
Yeah.
But he's like, guys, come on. Come on, let's be bold. Let's intimidate here, you know? And that yesterday felt like the first two games of the year. High energy.
Yeah.
At the start of the game, it's just like that first drive, even though they stalled and they got three.
But it was still
It's
really
just like,
good.
Okay, we're better than you. We don't care that we're playing in your house.
And that defense, I mean, forcing a couple of punts in the first two possessions. I thought we were going to get really bad Jared Goff. Yeah. I thought that we were going to get a really bad Jared Goff performance, and the Packers were going to roll. Now, Goff settled in, obviously, completed 14 in a row at one point.
Yeah. But and they're a good team. I don't care, you know, what slide they're on. They've got a lot of talent. But they need to act like that every week. You know, even LaFleur.
How do you get to that point? Because I would say that you guys acted like that eventually.
Yeah.
You guys didn't act like that in 1994.
Yeah.
At what point did you guys start acting like that? Was it the San Francisco game?
After the San Fran game where we bullied them.
Yeah.
They didn't have a chance. No. We were steamrolling them because then that gave us confidence. And that's next week they're going to Dallas where they had blown us out pretty much every time we played them. And we stood toe to toe to them. They were better than us.
Yeah.
They were better. They had more talent, but we stood toe to toe, and we're like, "We'll take
quarter.
Your punches. You're going to take some of ours." You know
what I don't understand is why that approach wasn't the same against the Eagles in terms of like game plan and and relying on Jordan Love and going out punching them and like in attack mode.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think this was a big part of it. Did you like them going on fourth down every time they did?
Yes.
Would you have liked them to go for it if the false start penalty was enforced?
No, I think you take the points.
I agree with you. I would really, and he may not tell us because
hindsight's 20/20. There's no way he'd tell us. I don't think there's a way he tells us.
What do you think? Do you think he goes for it?
I think he takes the points. I think he learns the lesson.
We saw the exact same thing happen and it go very wrong.
Yeah, and I think he learned the lesson against Carolina where he thought he was going to have two downs to get something. They lost 4 or 5 yards on third down, decided to go for it anyway, blew up in his face. I think especially on the road, he would have taken the points.
But if he didn't and they score from the 7,
yeah,
that gives so much confidence to your team and a boost to like, hey, we'll line up with anyone. We don't care. But, and I don't like being reckless on fourth down.
Sure. And I don't think anybody was reckless on fourth down yesterday. I don't think the Lions were reckless when they went for
it. To end the game, I loved Matt LaFleur's comments on the game came down to fourth down, and they had planned the entire time on third down. They knew they were going for it on fourth. And if that's your mentality and everyone knows it, then that's fine.
Exactly. The
analytics were even. It's about the same punting there or going for it in how the outcome and win probability of the game goes. So if you're doing what you think is right and if you think you have the ability and your guys are – I mean, there was a couple drops, but wide receivers were making plays all day.
Yeah.
I think that's a conversation they just need to continue to have, Joshy, because Jordan Love said it yesterday. They talked all week about, hey, we got to be more aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying, steal completely from Dan Campbell and, oh, we're going to go for it on every fourth down.
Yeah.
But being more aggressive in those situations, I think, would better, especially because we know Matt's a guy who was on camera back in 2019, all gas, no brakes. He said multiple times he wants to be aggressive. He's got to lean in to that side of him because I think we saw the results yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not always going to work out.
No.
Sometimes, as we saw with the Lions yesterday, that was the difference in the game. Packers were 3-for-3. Yeah. Lions were 0-for-2. And that was the difference in the game because those 3 fourth downs for the Packers were huge. 2 touchdowns.
That was the game.
And the seal at the end of the game. Those were the 3 fourth downs that they picked up. So
I can tell you what I don't like.
But I like the aggressiveness, and I want to have that mindset from LaFleur and have that trickle down to the players.
Yeah. I don't like running the ball on 4th and 2 or anything more than 4th and 2. I think when you have Jordan, you cut him loose.
Yeah. And that's what the Packers did. Well, all 3 times on 4th down yesterday, they passed it. The Lions didn't do that. They ran the ball one of those times with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
Also, on that throw to Wicks to ice the game, they went heavy box. They forced the Packers to throw it, and then they played man-to-man and said, hopefully our guys, because the Packers aren't great against man-to-man, and that's why some of those windows were as tight as you were describing earlier. But the Lions dictated what they wanted the Packers to do, and the Packers said, all right, we'll
and it was it. It was great coverage.
Yeah.
It just Wicks went up and made a play.
But I think that's going to give Love more confidence in guys
going
forward. 800-990-3776 is the Carblues Talk at text line. We'll get to calls in just a second, but I do want to get this text from Jason saying, what's Matt LaFleur's track record doing Toyota-thon? Is he on board too now? And if we're being honest, maybe Matt LaFleur's the Toyota-thon guy. Because the Packers were always real good in December when they had Aaron Rodgers, too.
That was Matt LaFleur's best day since Dallas in the playoffs.
What, calling the game?
Maybe you could say Malik Willis game in that run. But in terms of being aggressive and pulling the right strings and having the right play calls for the right moments, I mean, he was unbelievable. His best game by far of the season.
Great balance. Keeping them off balance. Yeah. No, That's what we expect.
It felt more pass first than it did run first.
Yeah.
And you could still have that balance, but just have that more aggressive mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to certainly get to your phone calls. We'll get to more of your texts coming up in just a moment, but I do want to tell you about our friends at Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do because they believe every event should not just be successful, but fun. It's one that people talk about years later. That's how you can boost those cultures within your businesses. I've seen them do big things like the Buck Soiree, doing little things like adding to our golf outing, adding to the night market that they've done and been a part of right outside our building here in downtown Milwaukee as well. So whether it's something big, whether it's just something they can do just a little bit to boost your event, you should be contacting Events by Design. Just search online. Events by Design. They design. You party.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
it is what it is. I'd rather go down swinging, similar to how we did in Arizona. And sometimes it can bite you, absolutely. And you just got to deal with the consequences that come along with that. So,
but again, I'd rather deal with those consequences. I love what Matt LaFleur did yesterday. I hope that is the mentality that this team keeps going forward for the rest of the year. Because they've got tough games, Chew. Rest of this schedule, it's a Victory Friday here. You're feeling really good. You've got the Bears. First place is going to be on the line of the division no matter what the Bears do today. You know, they win that game, you know, they're going to be in first place. Then you've got Denver. Then you've got Chicago again. And you've got Baltimore. And you've got Minnesota. It's not an easy schedule to close out for the Packers, but they've got an opportunity. I think if they keep that aggressive mentality, that they can continue to climb up the NFC standings. They can be hosting playoff games in January.
You just can't lose from here on out. Can't lose games you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
You know, they do have a tough schedule. Hopefully Baltimore keeps losing to where their playoff picture is in question.
Unbelievable what's happening in the AFC between Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's such a weird year. Such a weird year. You know, because I sit here and think, okay, I know it's a lot of weeks left, but who do you want to play in that first round? You know?
I don't think there'd be anybody I'd be too scared of.
I mean, Dallas. That's a wild card. If somehow Dallas got in.
Yeah, but Dallas coming up to here.
Yeah.
Dak has historically played poor in the playoffs.
Detroit, I really don't want to face them again. Just because Gibbs, depends what.
You get Goff outside, you're getting it done.
I know, but Ragnow, who knows what that's going to do to that offensive
Goff?
Line.
Yeah. Oh, two glove Goff, give me. I want it all day.
And Gibbs is a good back.
Yeah, the Packers have his number. That's
for whatever reason.
Yeah. I know it's the outside zone thing. That he really likes that. I mean, even with little space to room, he still looked good at points.
Oh, yeah.
But he was not the guy we saw just last week.
I thought that was going to be a bigger issue once we learned that Quay Walker was going to be out, just because matching some of that speed.
Are you worried about San Fran?
Their defense is just, like, they could, that could potentially be a shootout.
Yeah.
And you've got to play similarly to the way you did yesterday. But that defense for San Fran is cooked.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've got, especially if Brock Purdy, I mean, Purdy threw three picks, but it was his first game back. Or second game back, I think. If he starts playing well, yeah, that offense is, even though they don't have the weapons on the outside.
Yeah.
Kittle's still really good, and Christian McCaffrey's still really good.
And yeah,
Purdy avoids turnovers, the offense, they're going to score points.
Yeah. Now they just have to stack, and we talked about it all year long.
Yeah, so you stack.
Know, just start trending.
And that was, honestly, if I took away one thing from Matt LaFleur's press conference yesterday, it was, we can't pretend like this is, we've arrived moment.
Yeah.
Because we still have to put in the work, which it seems like that thought process had entered their minds after 2 weeks.
Yes.
We talked about it with Rashid Walker talking about going undefeated. Oh, we've made it. We figured it out. No, you still got to put in the work, guys.
How
still got to grind it out.
How concerned are you about Wyatt? Because when Wyatt went out earlier in the season,
not good.
The rush defense suffered, right?
Yeah. Before we get to that, let's go ahead and talk to Thomas in Chicago on the Cardinals Talk and Text line, because I think he wants to talk about Devontae Wyatt as well. 800-990-3776. Thomas, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, that Wyatt injury, I just think that with how just the interior, I mean, guys, like, he's our biggest interior guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, mass-wise. And, like, I just think, like, I heard about Van Ness coming back and maybe he can kick inside. I'm like, I don't like that either.
Well, I think they would kick him inside, again, Thomas, in passing situations. So, like, obvious third and longs.
Okay.
I think that would be, hey, Devontae Wyatt's been one of your better pass rushers. He's third on the team in sacks.
But I'm concerned about Van Ness.
You could kick him, yeah, with the foot injury.
You know, I mean, how many weeks has it been with a foot injury, and it keeps getting re-aggravated?
Well, because he tried to go last week. Didn't work out.
I do have a quick question, if you do. Do you think this at all impacts the offense in a way where maybe we're more aggressive on fourth down, or Matt LaFleur says, Wyatt, with Wyatt out, maybe we don't get enough pressure to maybe get like a like I can pin these guys deep and our defense can get back. Do you at all think this impacts where maybe the offense is more aggressive to knowing that, hey, we lost Wyatt and we don't have the same pressure as we used to?
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate the call, Thomas. But I guess with Devontae, I'm more concerned, Chu, about the rush defense.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because how many times have we heard LaFleur talk about, well, they shortened possessions. They took possessions away. Mm-hmm. And how did teams do that? By running the football.
Yeah.
Bears have the number two running offense in the league next week. And the Bears are certainly going to be one of, they don't want to play the possession game with the Packers.
No.
They're going to want to shorten things up.
That's
just
the
like
thing.
These
you're,
other teams.
You're limited with possessions if all of a sudden these teams are rushing the ball and going on long drives like that, which, to what our caller said, may force you to be more aggressive offensively and maybe take. Look, I have no problem going for it on fourth down. I just don't like being reckless on fourth down. And I think Dan Campbell in Detroit, they have a tendency to be reckless.
Yes. From time
to time. On fourth down. I don't want that.
Game. You know? Remember that scenario where they kept taking penalties?
Yeah.
They kept getting moved back and he just kept going for it. And it's like at some point you just got to say uncle.
What I really think with Dan Campbell is he's just, even though they can be explosive, I just don't think he's a coordinator. I think losing Ben Johnson to them, they don't look as creative. They look a little more predictable.
They were still pretty explosive yesterday.
Yeah, they were explosive, but I thought,
especially without Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
He got hurt early, and they don't have their top tight end.
I don't know if it would. I mean, the two of them, Laporta and Amon-Ra being down, But, I mean, we lost Kraft.
Oh, yeah.
We lost our
injuries.
So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they didn't have it.
Injuries are a part of the game, man. Like, that's how these things go.
I think the offenses are comparable when the Packers play well. When they play well and LaFleur lets it go, but I think Green Bay's defense is better than
And the big reason for that is Micah Parsons.
Big reason
behind that is having the best defensive player on the field. And the Packers will have the best defensive player on the field from the rest of the season. Because there's only one that you could say is better.
And he will not be making the playoffs.
Correct.
Yes.
It's Myles Garrett, for those of you playing the home game.
Yeah.
We've got to get to Craig Karmazin. He is going to join the show, as he does each and every Friday. That is coming up next. But if you are looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner, Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years. And for the last 15, right here in Milwaukee, they offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. What's great about Fifth Third is they're big enough to provide those sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but empowered to make the local decisions right here in Milwaukee and build strong community connections, which is what their team, it's not a big team, but it's just their team has been able to build some really good community connections. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI.
Hold on, the AI Chewy can just bring up championship.
We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, is going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
The rare second appearance from Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this week. So he popped in on Wednesday, did a little Stranger Things talk.
What'd you think?
Oh, my God, so good.
I fell asleep.
No.
That has nothing to do with how good it was.
No.
Oh, now we just lost Craig. But that has nothing to do with how good Stranger Things is.
Did you watch it?
No, so...
Yeah, I mean, totally understandable to fall asleep when you're talking about over 4 hours of episodes that didn't drop until 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. So
it's your fault too, by the way. Your fault, by the way.
I assume so.
Do you know why it's your fault? Because the preview you sent us was about an hour and a half long. And me and my one son were like, all right, we've seen enough. And Angie wanted to watch the whole thing. So I was getting a little bored and I fell asleep.
Wait, so you didn't even watch a single episode?
No.
You fell asleep during the preview for our set?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Did you get through all
that
the episodes?
That is the most Chewy thing.
Yes, totally.
Of course. So, of course, I got through all the episodes. It was awesome on Thursday, on Wednesday night. Actually, yesterday I ended up watching 3 episodes of season 4 back. Just again,
okay,
because it was just so good. Yeah, just so well done. And now just can't wait till Christmas.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to wait for that long. That's the tough
really?
Part. Yeah, so
that's
they,
how they're doing it.
The way they're doing it. Yeah. So they released, it was 4 episodes this time around, right, Craig?
Yeah.
And then Christmas is 3 episodes, and then New Year's Eve is the season finale or series finale. Excuse me. So that's how they're releasing all 8 episodes. So were you too busy watching Stranger Things, or did you get to watch the Packers have a significant win over the Detroit Lions yesterday?
No, I watched the other game. I did watch Stranger Things season 4 during a bunch of the Bengals-Ravens game. But I did, but I watched, I watched the entire Packers game, and I don't know, it was kind of like what I thought. Like, I thought they were good, and it's impressive on the road, and their 3rd and long seems to be what I know it was 4th down where they had the big plays, but the thing that impresses me the most is that, like, when they have other teams 3rd and long, you don't feel like the other teams have a chance, but when they are 3rd and long, you feel like most of the time they have a good chance to convert. Like, that's why I think they have a chance, like, to do it against an NFC where, outside of the Rams, everyone feels kind of the same.
Craig, I pose this question to the guys here. What do you think the record would be without Micah Parsons, and what would the record be without Jordan Love? The same?
Well, I mean, you're saying no Jordan Love, and you're going just with the quarterbacks on the roster?
With Malik, and then you're rolling it back with who would be, because Van Ness has been out forever, Rashawn Gary and
Kingsley Engabare and guys like that.
Would it be the same?
I mean, as good as Micah was, I still think Jordan Love is more valuable to this team. And Jordan Love's performance this year specifically has been very underrated. So I think Jordan Love's worth at least maybe one more game than Micah.
Okay.
Why do you think people are hesitant? Because you mentioned the underrated thing, and it feels like either people think Jordan Love's awesome or he sucks. Why do you think people have been hesitant to just accept how good he has been?
I think because there hasn't been, like, the fast playoff progress, right? Like, so I think if he had had the Cowboys game last year and, you know, if you had flipped his 2 postseasons, I think then you would have that feeling. But I think just coming off of last year, I don't think there's that, like, oh, my God, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a lock. Like, I think there's just people want to wait and see, but he has been really good again this year. And he makes throws that other quarterbacks don't, that we take for granted.
Yeah, but there's still kind of an Aaron Jones feel. Remember, we used to talk about Aaron Jones would have a monster game and then just have, like, okay games for the next 2 or 3 and then a monster game. Cause that's kind of what Love's been. I mean, the 3 games prior to this, Craig, he threw for like 160, 170. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over, but it was nothing special.
Right. But that's, I mean, they're a running team. That's like what they're trying to be. Like, that's the image that as they go to the postseason, they want to win with defense and running. But when they need to throw, they throw, and he hasn't been turning the ball over. And yeah, I've been more impressed with Jordan Love because it's when those bad interceptions, which, you know, he's thrown a few this year that are like epically bad. Like, if you wanted to put the Instagram reel together of like why Packer fans are delusional thinking, you know, they can win a Super Bowl with Jordan Love, like, you could show a video where he has ones that are as bad as Brett Favre, right? And Aaron Rodgers never had those. But I mean, those are pretty few and far between this year. And I think he's a guy that Packer fans should trust going into the postseason, assuming this team is a postseason team, which is no lock. Again, the way the NFC is built this year, the postseason is not a lock. Like, the Packers can be an NFC championship team still, or the Packers can still miss the postseason.
I just want to see swag, though, because I think that's something we've been missing. the coach included. Because back in the day when we played and we're playing whoever at home, we're like, all right, we won. The game hasn't even started and we won. At times, I don't think they think they're good.
But so you had that, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Chu, but you guys still put in the work and had the confidence.
Yes.
I think at times this team has gone, oh, we're better, but then hasn't necessarily put in the work, which is how you lose to Carolina, how you lose to Cleveland.
I don't know.
I don't think there's that big of a difference between this team and other teams. That's the difference.
Yeah, like, no, you guys, I agree.
There was, I don't know that there was as much talent in the league then as there is now. So I just think it's just, or maybe it's just more balanced, but I mean, it's just such a balanced league. I you know, watching the Chiefs and the Cowboys yesterday and watching the Packers and the Lions, there wasn't that much of a margin of difference between all of these teams. And you could even throw the Ravens and the Bengals back in it, right? The Ravens turned the ball over a ton. And with Joe Burrow back, I didn't see that big a difference between the six teams that played yesterday.
Yeah, it just feels like when I played, we never lost to bad teams. Where today, in today's football, good teams will lose to bad teams. I don't know if that's...
But are there as many bad teams now? Because to Craig's point, it's a little bit more balanced. So yeah, the Bengals are now 4-8. And when they had Jake Browning, they were bad because they were turning the ball over so much. But even with Joe Flacco, like, they were making enough plays. Cincinnati made a ton of plays
last
night.
And they had historically bad. Yeah, they had a historically bad defense, right?
Yes.
The Bengals. I think there's also the reason why there's more bad losses is there's more Thursday games. And, like, I think there's more, like, screwed up weeks.
Yeah,
and
you're probably, yeah,
I do think that also impacts some of these, like, random bad games that are played and random bad losses.
Quickly, Craig, before we let you go, you got the Bucks jacket on. They play tonight against the Knicks, back at home tomorrow. But I have a tendency to agree when I hear Doc Rivers talk about, hey, this time with Giannis, it's not great right now, and they're in the middle of a six-game losing streak, but he thinks it's going to be good for them in the long run because they do have to figure out, you know, the non-Giannis minutes when he's on the floor. This team is, I think, as good as anybody in the East, but you have to navigate those moments when he's not. And I like the fight that they've been putting up. I mean, they were down 9 with 3 minutes to go and had an opportunity to win in Miami the other night.
Yeah, I mean, you called the game. The thing about the Bucks is in non-Giannis minutes, they have the worst offense in the NBA, you know, right now. so having to play 48 minutes of non-Giannis minutes against a team that plays at the fastest pace in the NBA, like the Miami Heat, and then playing a one possession game with them is massive progress. It might not feel like it when you lose another game without Giannis, but you and Doc are both right, right? It's massive progress to play a one possession game on the road against a playoff team who had all of its team back, like, yeah, you know, for one of the first times all season for 48 minutes without Giannis. So it's progress. And I think we also know that even though the East is better than we think, you know, all it takes is one little 4 or 5 game winning streak, and you're right back in the heart of not just the play in, which the Bucks are out of right now, but the playoffs.
I'm good. I'm still stuck on football.
All right, Craig. We appreciate you jumping on. Enjoy the rest of the holiday weekend.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving again, guys. See ya.
You too.
Craig Garmison joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. See what we put on the polls. Wrap up a Victory Friday coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do. Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? I mean, it's something that your wife keeps in the drawer.
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So Joshy did put it on the Infinity Exteriors Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Who is most important to the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love or Micah Parsons? What do you think it is, Chew?
70-30.
Right now it's 50-50. Right now it's
on
exactly
to something.
50-50. So still plenty of time to vote in that poll at Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Twitter, our Infinity Exteriors poll.
I mean, what's Malik Willis?
Bad.
As far as games. Isn't he undefeated?
No, because he played, as a starter.
As a starter.
Yeah, but he played the majority of the game against the Bears last year and lost.
Okay.
Had to come in off the bench and...
I mean, Jordan Love is, if this continues, what we've seen all year based on any advanced statistic is he is playing, like, if not the best, like the second best quarterback in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that gap is bigger than any gap even for the best defensive player. Now, the Packers have less wins without Micah Parsons. That is like a simple fact. The thing that makes the question interesting is because I think you don't have as many wins without either. Jordan Love has been the single factor multiple times that has probably propelled the Packers to victory. But as is Micah Parsons, without him, like Jason was saying, the closer. I mean, he's made drive-stopping, game-ending plays. And they don't have that anywhere else, as we've seen Rashawn Gary fade to the background.
Let me ask you this, though, Joshy. Quarterbacks affect the line, correct?
What do you mean? In what way?
The betting line.
Oh, yes, correct.
Does Micah Parsons?
No.
You don't think he affects it at all?
No. Typically, no player besides the quarterback affects the line.
Would he affect the under-over?
Probably. If at most Micah not playing, it would be like a point.
A point or a half point.
Yeah.
Like you might lose the hook. If it's like 3.5, maybe it drops down to 3.
I think that's crazy.
I mean, that's just how they do it. And that's why some of the analysis of point spreads and players not. Now, if you have a preponderance of injuries and your team has lost their top three guys, you will notice a difference. Yeah.
No, I agree.
But one player, even the best players in the NFL, typically don't move the line. Like, you'll see some quarterbacks, the line will change like 6 points if they're not playing.
Sure.
So, for example, let's say, so the early line next week for the Packers, they're favored by 6.5 against the Bears. Right now, over at ESPN Bet, they are 6.5-point favorites. If Jordan wasn't playing, probably drops down to 3.
Yeah, maybe even more.
Yeah.
Okay.
At minimum, I think that's true. If Mike is not playing, yeah, maybe it goes to 6. It also kind of depends upon what happens in the Bears game today against the Eagles. But yeah, maybe it drops that half point. Maybe you just lose the hook.
God, I don't know. I think this defense without him is...
Oh, no, look.
Very average.
You're not getting a pushback from me on that at all.
I do think, though, what would change is Jeff Hafley's approach.
Oh, it would have to. Kind of
like the simulated pressure stuff. And Jeff Hafley had plenty of games last year where he and his play calling affected the outcome of games.
He hasn't had to do much of the simulated pressure. Again, more of the stuff they do is just moving Micah around. Mm-hmm. Like we saw last week, him run over the Viking center because he's lining up more in the middle. He simulated pressure yesterday, and the Lions didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
there was a nice blitz package with McKinney.
Yeah,
We really haven't seen that all year.
No,
that's something Leroy would do. You know.
Yeah, he got in there, and both him and McDuffie just absolutely lit up Goff because they dropped Micah into coverage.
Yeah,
and clearly. I'm curious to see if we see that more going on, because especially when Mike is standing up or you're moving him around, it takes more effort to go, how do we get more bodies on him?
Yes.
When he's lined up on the edge, you know it's going to be a tight end or the guard, or it's just a lot simpler to go, oh, here's how we're going to chip him, double him, whatever. When you're moving him around, he's in a place you're not expecting him to be, and then you shift your protection to go towards him, and then he bails out.
Yeah. Now you've got 3 guys looking for Micah Parsons, and none of them are getting him.
Was that after Amon-Ra St. Brown went out?
No, that was like the third play.
Oh, it was? Yeah. He's still in there? All right.
Yeah. So, I don't want to do that too often, because you want Micah Parsons running after the quarterback as often as possible. Mm-hmm. But doing it once a game, just being selective of when you're going to drop Micah out of coverage and kind of throw off their protection. Yeah, I think we maybe see that from Jeff Hafley and this defense a little bit.
You got to be careful, though, with... Wyatt out, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if they run the ball from Parsons when he's bopping around.
It's got to be he only kind of bops around when it's a pretty obvious passing situation. Third and 7 or whatever. I think that's the only time you really see that from Micah.
Yeah.
Because, I don't want Micah Parsons, being the point of attack in the A gap as they're trying to run the football.
Well, I think we found out that he's good. yesterday.
Did you need to find that out?
was that something we needed to learn?
He was like, yesterday was like a Tyson fight where he's bored. He knows he's going to win because he didn't have a sack until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And well, no, he had that half sack.
He had the half sack early.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then he had the two sacks in the fourth quarter. But that's, again, that's the closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a closer.
They do need to play. I would be all in favor of
Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be electric.
What about closing time?
Yeah, it doesn't get the crowd going. Well, I enjoy that song.
Okay.
And, you know, again, we'll put my arm around Joshy if we hear that song going over the speakers. Uh-huh.
Me and
Joshy
ain't doing anything about songs because we tried to change the Go Pack Go and we got called
the
jinx.
You tried to change Bang the Drum.
Bang the Drum. Yeah. We learned our lesson.
I mean, we didn't. I was just humoring you.
Wow,
I believe
he
just said,
bus.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Thank you. Threw you under the bus. Will the Entourage keep the Victory Friday vibes going? Coming up next.